Hi, this is Daniel Garber with Movies for CulturalMoney.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. It's rural Canada at some point in the near future. Kia is a young woman about to start a new phase of her life. She lives with her mom in a homey but threadbare shack, a testament to the joys of back-to-nature living. They ride bikes and grow their own vegetables, but what will her new job be? She's going to be a witness, someone who officially records a major event. You see, in this post-carbon future, there are no digital cameras or cell phones to record events, just people like Kia and their handmade drawings. But what will she be witnessing? The dignified but obligatory end-of-life ceremonies that everyone must go through by their 50th birthday. Can Kia adjust to her bittersweet new job, and what will it mean for her relationship with her mother? Can I Get a Witness is a gentle and heartfelt cautionary tale about where our world may be heading. It's a Canadian coming-of-age drama with equal parts comedy and empathy, with just a little bit of light horror thrown in, too. It stars Sandra Oh, Joel Ouellette, and Kira Jang as Kia. Can I Get a Witness was written, directed, and produced by award-winning Vancouver-based filmmaker Anne-Marie Fleming, who brought us the wonderful animated feature Window Horses back in 2016. She's worked with the National Film Board and independently producing animated films and shorts of a sort you've probably never seen before. The film will open this weekend in Toronto, Montreal, and Vancouver, and I'm very pleased to have here with me Anne-Marie Fleming to tell us more about Can I Get a Witness? Hi, Anne-Marie.
Hello.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Oh, that was such an exciting intro.
Oh, thank you. So I threw out a lot of stuff, but is Can I Get a Witness a horror movie, a cautionary tale, or a tongue-in-cheek comedy fantasy about where we're all heading? How would you classify it?
Well, you know, I was calling it a cli-fi.
A what?
Cli-fi.
Okay.
Like science fiction, climate-oriented, climate-forward. And, you know, when people call it science fiction, they immediately think more thriller, more horror. And I think it is pure science fiction in that it imagines a future. So it's a thought experiment. I think it, I would describe it as almost like a meditation, you know?
So I'm wondering about the film and book inspiration for this. Like, we're the same generation, and the first thing that came to my mind was Logan's Run, a movie where everyone is this future where everyone dies, I think it's at age 30.
But,
30. Yeah. But there's also British writer Kazuo Ishiguro's Never Let Me Go. And lots of these, but they're always sort of a horrific undertone. But yours doesn't have the same horror to it. So I'm just curious, what are your literary and film inspirations for this?
Yeah, well, I have a very specific one. I just wanted to say that this is kind of like the opposite of Logan's Run, where everybody agrees to end their life because they think they're going to get something better. So it's a selfish act, and it's like a seduction, and it's a lie. Whereas this film is about everybody agreeing to do this for the greater good. And we're talking about for all species and the planet, not just for us. So it's completely different. But where it came from is from Jonathan Swift's A Modest Proposal.
Okay. Ooh.
Right. So for those who don't know, Jonathan Swift was an Irish-British, writer and philosopher and political activist who came up with this great idea during the potato famine. Why don't the Irish eat their children? Because then it would deal with the population problem and give them a great source of protein. And of course, this was farcical. But it got people very angry, but it did create discussion, and it created the changing of laws and bring attention to this irresponsible landowner situation between Britain and Ireland. And so that was what I took a nod from. And when I came up with this idea a long time ago, a long time ago where I did have concerns about climate. I was living in Vancouver's West End. Like in 2006, there's this big windstorm. 10,000 trees were blown down overnight. King tides were taking out the seawall. And Canada was thinking about raising the age of CPP from 65 to 67. And I was far enough away to think that this was funny, but this, what was the inevitable future when we got to this stage, right? We're out of money. There's too many people. The world is ending. And so I wanted to make something that was pointed. I mean, all my films are about my what is happening in the world as I see it at the time, and whether, you know, from my point of view. But this was before COVID, right? Where what we would do for each other became a kitchen table conversation, where we see what can happen, that governments can all agree to affect great change all at once, and that everybody is experiencing this at exactly the same time. And then now in Canada, we have MAID. We did not have a discussion of that when I came up with this idea in the first place, medical assistance in dying. And it's a very vigorous discussion in many countries that are considering, do we do this and the ethics of it? So like, so through time, and the climate, you know, has gone from the back pages of, you know, of the news cycle to up front, that all over the world right now with extreme weather events and the world changing, is that you cannot ignore that things are changing regardless of why you think they are. And so yeah, so the tone of this film has really changed, you know, it's really changed, and the discussion around it has changed. It's become much more real world.
One of the themes in the film is it's about the passing on of culture and history from one generation to the next. For example, there's a one of the events or whatever they call it, the
End
end
of
of death,
life.
the end of life experiences, where they do the Japanese tea ceremony, but it's never explicit or explained to the viewer. Do you think that in a world like this, this cultural information is dying out with the people?
Absolutely. I mean, when there's nobody older than 50 anymore, and how quickly we forget, like, you know, the younger generation here, with, you know, there's a scene where they're being sort of taught what was, you know, the evil world that was, that is no longer. And they're all going, ooh, my goodness, social media, ooh, poverty, ooh, you know, and it is poking a bit of fun, but also it is true that we forget in 10 seconds what just happened. You know, we have no memory. And when there is, and when there aren't elders, when there isn't actually an oral tradition of passing down of generations, it gets lost even faster. And it's interesting that you would talk about the tea ceremony, because just by the by, you know, Yuki Morita, who plays Anna in that, you know, I participated in tea ceremonies, but it's not, you know, something that I know well. But she said, oh, my mother taught me. And she goes, this is how my mother taught it to me. And so we worked on that, and we worked on adapting it for this scene, because it's not traditional. Something happens that's not traditional, and you wouldn't know that if you didn't know the tea ceremony. So there's a whole bunch of little kind of Easter eggs there that if you know, you go, oh, this is shifted.
And sort of an abbreviated tea ceremony and stuff, yeah. And that brings me to interesting, sort of funny part of the movie where so much has been lost that it seems to have been boiled down to two movies: Marx Brothers' Duck Soup and Ben Stiller's Zoolander. And they don't
Yeah,
laugh. They don't laugh.
when the dust settles, that's what's left.
Like, oh no. I mean, I do love the movie Duck Soup, but it's sort of done like, oh, I see. Like it's a serious movie.
You know, I have to say, I don't laugh at the Marx Brothers personally.
Okay.
No, I just
Never?
watch.
Okay.
No, it's not my kind of humor,
Okay.
but it's so interesting. People often ask, why did you choose duck soup? And I have to say, for many, many reasons, and it's so funny. I chose it a long time ago, and as I said, over time, more reasons reveal themselves. I think you know what I mean. But also just that one shot of I think it's Groucho and I think it's Harpo. I get mixed up, but the two brothers who are doing that little mirror
Oh,
scene. And in some ways, that's like, that's like this film. It's like art, is that we are looking at ourselves, but also we are looking at our brothers, Ourselves are our brothers or other people.
now, in Window Horses, the main character was of mixed heritage, of mixed racial background. And in this one, we never know who Kia's father really was, but she also seems to be of a mixed background. Why is that important to you in the film? What is your personal significance here?
Well, I'm mixed race myself. And so, yes, and to look at me, of you wouldn't know, or who is she, or what is her background? And I'm always fascinated by those questions. Where did you come from? Where's your background? Because if you know what year it is, and you know where you are, and you know what that background is, it's like a shortcut of all the geopolitics of that time, because we think we have freedoms, but we actually have choices given when we are, like, our little existence on this planet. So, I mean, really, and I don't, there's so many stories in Can I Get a Witness that are just suggested that we're not, fully expressed, but I did want to leave some possibility that Kia is not Ellie's birth child, and that in this world that is not necessary. We are all the stewards of of children.
And the look of the movie, I thought it was very, it's the opposite of, like you were saying, the opposite of what we think of as science fiction. It's all lush flowers and greenery and things like that. And I'm thinking there's a scene where they're doing a witness, doing an end of life ceremony on a lake, and there's this wide shot of this lake covered in lily pads. To me, that shouted manga, like the view you'd seen a manga. So can you talk about your use of visual, because you're an animated film maker, but also live action. How did you incorporate like art images into a live action movie?
Well, I've made hybrid films incorporating live action and animation since I started making films in the 80s. And so for me, it's just like it's a tool, it's a way of storytelling, and it's just something that I gravitate towards. In this particular case, it made such sense because, as you explained, there is no photography anymore, for various reasons. I always think that art is, its purpose has always been to show us who we are, like to show us what culture is and was and will be. And because this world needs quite a bit of repression, as any society does, for people to be civil and kind to each other while they are having to fulfill their obligations in this place, end of life, that these drawings would become, they would become animated, they would become alive to show the interior, the feelings that Kia was having that she couldn't express in the moment. And there was actually going to be a lot more animation in this film. But when we shot it, it was such an emotional experience. It was so emotional. So I kept the animation, I kept it there to show that there was another level of story. And also to remind you that this is the world of fable, it's the world of imagination. But yeah, in terms of art, it was always there. that was always part of how I wanted to tell the story. And as an animator, I mean, this is so obvious, so I'm sorry if it sounds too simple, but you start with nothing and everything is additive and everything has meaning. And I approach live action like that too. If it's in the frame, it's saying something. It, you know, it's not like, oh, we'll just shoot this, or this looks great, or this would be a great idea. Everything in the frame is giving you information.
And a wonderful, beautiful, informative movie it is. Thanks so much for talking with me.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much for profiling the film. Thank you.
I've been speaking with Anne Maria Fleming, whose great new film, Can I Get a Witness, is opening this weekend in Toronto, Vancouver, and Montreal. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and my website, culturalmining.com.